Right, this is an interview with Janice Cross on the 10th of April 1997 for the Dersingham 2000 History Project. We've been looking through a whole lot of photographs and cuttings, and I've made a long list of those which I'll type up later. And Janice has lent me the cuttings book that her great aunt, was it Janice?
My father's cousin.
Her father's cousin made of early Dersingham afternoon WI.
Mrs. Bird, the wife of the family butcher, Bird.
Right. Mrs. Bird, the wife of the family butcher. And then we thought we would get on with some recording now. And I gave Janice the guidelines, and she made some notes last night. And now we're going to go ahead. So I'm just going to check the spelling, first of all. Janice, it's J-A-N-I-C-E. And your maiden name?
Dixon. Yes, it's my name.
Dixon Cross. And your maiden name was?
Chambers.
Chambers.
C-H-A-M-B-E-R-S.
Okay. And you've always been called Janice. You haven't had a nickname or anything
like
that. Right. Was Dixon Chambers hyphenated?
No, Dixon was my mother's maiden name.
Okay, fine. And what was your mother's name?
Ethel.
And she was a Dersingham person?
No, she was Snettisham. She lived at Snettisham. Her father was the manager of Finn and Edward's granaries at Snettisham.
Right.
And then the railway station.
Right. And your father was a Dersingham person?
Yes, he was a builder, as was his father before him, James William Ward. And
your paternal grandmother, she was from Dersingham as well, was she?
Yes. Her name was Potter before she married my grandmother.
Your father's mother?
Yes.
Right.
Two brothers married two sisters.
Right. And at what stage did they have the hotel, the Temperance Hotel?
Well, my father lived there as a child with his sister Hilda, who became Mrs. James Jackson. She married Jimmy Jackson. I'm not quite sure when they moved, but I was born
next door. And what was the address? Was that house got a name?
That did have then. It was called Bright Scene. B-R-Y-T-C-E-N-E. That was called Bright Scene.
One word?
Yes, one word.
And that is that right? B-R-Y-T...
C-E-N-E.
C-E-N-E.
Yes.
Right.
And that was...
Do you know why it was called that?
Yes, because it was a bright scene.
Right.
There was just opposite. There was just a deep ditch leading on to rough grass, gorse bushes, and beyond that sea, which of course is all...
And could you actually see it from upstairs?
Yes. Yes. And there were trees, ash, elm, and oak along there.
Right.
Because that's all changed.
Yeah. And they had it built specially for them, or was it a house that existed before they moved in? Do you know?
It was built, but I'm not quite sure. Not for them. I'm not sure if it was built for Aunt Lucy. I'm not sure. And White House beyond that was built for another cousin. I don't know about the sister. Yes.
Okay. Now, I'm just going through these. So you were actually born in Dersingham?
Yes, I was born in the house next door.
Mm-hmm.
In 1933. In Brightstone.
Right.
Yes, in 1933. Yeah.
And were you the first of the family, or were there others?
No, I have an elder sister.
And her name is?
Her name is Beryl. She's Beryl Chambers.
And is she in Dersingham now?
No, she lives in Felixstowe.
Right.
And has done for many years. She married Walter Tilson, and he was the son of the station master.
Walter Tilson.
Mm-hmm.
Right, just, I'm not going to, it's just names I'm putting down on this list. I'm not going to stop all the time and do this.
Yes.
And what is the address that this house is? And
well, this is...
Does it have a name as well?
No, this is the bungalow, really, that my father built in his retirement, and it's 48 from Stanton Road. It was built, this used to be the brickyard.
Right.
Chimney pots, pipes, etc.
And he built it to live in his retirement?
That's right.
And then who lived in the big house at that stage, or did he sell that?
He sold that to Barbara Day.
Right, and they've just, were they the ones who sold it about 2 years ago?
No, that's
changed. It's changed hands several times.
Yes, about three times.
Okay, fine. So, other members of your family living in Dursingham? Your sister doesn't.
No, well.
Does Alan's family come from Dursingham as well?
Yes, they came from Drift, they lived in Drift House.
Where is that?
That is on the corner of the main road and the drift, opposite Manor Road.
Right.
And he's a few hours older than I am.
Right. And Alan's family, how many generations does it go back?
Now, I can't... He tell you.
But at least his parents were here.
Oh, yes, his parents
And his grandparents?
And his grandfather lived on the other side of the road, yes.
Right.
And
that's his Cross, mother, isn't it?
Yes.
Yes.
His mother's family lived in Heath House at near the common on Heath Road.
And what was her maiden name? Do you know?
She was a Mam. Miss Mam.
Mam.
Yes.
Okay. On Heath Road.
Yes.
Opposite the Smith sisters.
Along the same side, next door to them.
Oh, next door to them. Right.
Yes. The house.
Right. Okay. Your earliest memories of the village?
What number is that?
Two other members of your family. Do you want to tell me any more about your members of your family? Well, you might like to tell me about this Gladys Bird, whose book we've got here, for instance.
Yes, she married Stanley Bird, who was one of the brothers ran the butcher's business in Chapel Road. It was Alfred Bird.
Is that where Scholes is now?
Yes.
It is. The same as always been butcher.
Yes.
Right.
That changed hands as well. I remember his mother there. And Mrs. Bogus was a sister who lives, she lives somewhere near here.
Yes, I know Mrs. Bogus.
Well, she was a daughter.
Of the butchers?
Yes, Alfred Bird was the other brother who lived in Station Road. He was in business with Stanley at the butchers. Then Gladys Bird.
She hasn't moved very far then, has she?
Well, no.
She moved just because she lives at Rib Hayes, which is right across the road.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, she was.
I mean, she's been around the world since then, but immediately just next door.
And there was another sister to her, another daughter, Frieda. Four together. But Gladys was a Chambers, and she was the second wife of Stanley because he originally was married to Mary Chambers, and unfortunately she died early and after some years he married Gladys. And then they lived next to the Wesleyan Chapel.
Mm-hmm. Now, your father's family built that chapel, did they?
Not that one, Primitive Methodist. On Chapel Road.
They built that one?
Well,
no.
not my father, but ancestors. You'll see it in the plaque on the wall.
It says Asker on the wall.
Yes, but you'll also see it Chambers. There's other names beside.
Oh, I've only remembered Asker.
Oh, right. There's
the
two.
The Doreen Asker, the flower ring.
That's right. Well, there's two, if you will.
Right.
On there.
Right.
Also, the Forester's Hall in
Manor Road.
And I know my father built the drill hole. I have a photo of that.
And where was the drill hole?
That's at Dove Hill on the left.
Right.
And I'm not sure what it was used for now, but at one time the children from the primary school...
It's not where the fire station is?
Opposite
the fire station.
Yes. And then also he did help with the wall around Sandringham House. I think the uncle from Snettisham was the builder, but I was told my father used to go up.
So your family were always in building?
Yes.
For several generations back?
Yes.
Yeah.
I was the last of them, his family, you see.
Yeah. And they've built quite a lot of roads, you say, quite a lot of houses along Lynn Road here,
yes,
you say.
Yes, well, they have, near the coffee shop and then along.
Yeah. We were looking at a photograph that Janice had that was an aerial view we've worked out that must be sometime after 19... What was it we worked out?
Well, the early days of flying.
Early days of flying, yeah. Early 1900s, we'd think. And there was nothing. There was just that little row of cottages.
Mm.
Tell me about those again.
You said the
little row, Hawthorne, and the end one, the lady.
Oh, yes. Hawthorne cottages, they were there then.
Mm.
And the end house, Miss Tansley lived in there, her sister, because at the house on the hill was Mrs. Tansley's Ben Doran.
Yes,
I think it is Ben Doran.
And can you remember that being built? Or,
no,
or that was done sometime before,
yes,
was it?
I don't remember that.
So they must have owned all that land below it as well, did they? Where the fields were and things.
Well, I'm not sure on that one.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Hannah Morton, maybe, I'd help you then.
Because
he lived in that place.
And there was just a field, and then, because Jimmy Nurse told me a story about his father taking a wheelbarrow of ice cream to the field behind the house, and there were sports days or something. Do you remember anything like that?
Yes. Now, I don't remember behind that particular house, but I've written down there that the Cedars, as it was called, was owned by Mr. and Mrs. Lloyd Pratt.
Yes.
And unfortunately, that was burnt down.
Now that's where?
And behind that was a field. And we used to, that is now Saxon Way, and all the houses are so true, all around there.
And the school?
Yes, and we used to, everybody used to take their sledges in the snow.
Mm-hmm.
And also the Girls Life Brigade were fortunate to have garden fates in the back garden there to raise funds. Various things
now,
that you
from
saw.
The cuttings you showed you, Janice, and photographs, you were very active in the Girls' Life Brigade almost from its foundation,
yes.
Weren't you?
Yes. It started as cadet, and then junior, and then senior, and I did start as a cadet, and the uniforms changed, as you see.
But your father's cousin,
yes.
Gladys Bird, actually
she founded
it. She did indeed,
yes, and Mrs. Francis was a keen helper there. And it was a very popular movement, you know, for girls. We did not have one in Dursingham, but in some places there was a boys' brigade as well attached to the church. But we didn't have one in Dursingham, we just had a girls' life brigade and one in King Flynn.
Right.
Oh.
And you had, what sort of uniform did you wear?
Well, we the cadets wore berets and the sailor collar and a big dress, and then you got to the juniors and seniors and you had a hat with a brim, and we did a lot of badge work, which is good for children. We had them stitched to the sleeve, and the blue were the elementary and the red were the adults.
So it had no connection with Girl Guides, it's completely separate.
Yes, nothing at all.
It's to do with the church.
It is, yes.
The Methodist Church.
Yes, and I think it was in King's Lynn as well, yes.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Not the Church of England.
No.
Yes. Right. And they had rallies in London. We went to Royal Albert Hall, and then they had get-togethers in Lynn. It's a national thing.
Yes.
It was a national thing.
Yeah.
I don't hear of them now.
No. I remember Boys Brigade for the Presbyterian Church in Zimbabwe.
Okay.
But I don't remember Girls Brigade at all. No, it was Girls Guides, you know.
Yes.
Brownies.
We all went to the church parade. They used to happen at the
on
church
Armistice
with the
Day
guides,
and things like that.
Scouts,
yeah.
And the guides and the Girls Life Brigade. We had our own banners, same as the guides.
Yeah. You also showed me photographs of you going to school at the Dursingham community. What was
yes,
it
I was
Dursingham?
At the primary school there, yes, until I went on.
No, it's about the the, you know, about the school itself.
Well, the school
that's now the community centre.
Yes, well, that was the primary school, and you were there until you took the, we call the scholarship then, which then became 11 plus,
mm-hmm.
and you went to the high school if you passed that exam, and then before St George's was built, the boys and girls went on to the senior classes, and then they left. If you passed, you went to the high school in King's Lynn.
Right.
Which is what I
was
did.
That Kiz?
Yes, in King Street.
Oh, right.
I went there.
Right.
Then, of course, Gaver Park came along, and some of them went there. And then, of course, St George's was built, and they were there, and then Smithton, and it became comprehensive, and then you've got all the modern schools now.
Was there a sort of resident headmaster or anything like that at the village school?
Yes. Mr. Wheeler, I don't remember him, but I remember his wife and his son and two daughters. His house was the one that faces
the new flats there.
Next to the fish and chip shop.
Right.
The big one is converted, I believe, into flats. Yes, now that was his house. And then following him in my time was a Mr. Mason Jones. Heather Mason Jones was one of his daughters, three. She was in the Girls' Life Brigade. Mm-hmm. And he had a nickname, Foss. Foss, yes. He was Welsh. And he lived up in the bungalows on the right as you go to Hunstanton at the bottom of Park Hill.
Mm-hmm.
I might say that when I was a little girl, Park Hill was not built on, and it was again an open space where we could play blackberry, and the Sunday school had treats once a year. They used to take the Sunday school treats, they'd take you out, and we went up there 1 year.
You mentioned when we were looking at the photographs too of the boys, they did some sort of cubs, was it, or scouts? There were photographs there of boys fishing on a scout.
Oh, the scouts. That was the Jerseyham Scouts, the first troop of the Jerseyham Scouts. That's way back in my father's time.
That's your father's time.
1914, yes.
And that drift that they mention is just here in Jerseyham, is it?
Yes. Well, the marsh, you see, used to go straight down over the railway line and connect up with the drift further down, and they used to go down the drift. And then Wolverton, a sluice, as is on that photo, where they were, and they used to have camps down there. Mm. My father became the assistant scoutmaster with Mr. Keane. Mr. Keane.
Was on that photo. That's right.
Yes.
So that you would be... Were most of the young people in the village involved in scouting or life brigade or guiding or anything like that?
I don't remember the beginning of the scouts, but my son was a cub.
Yeah.
And that did. I think it's very important because it gives them an interest, and I think it's very helpful to them.
And have they always held their fates and things opposite here on the recreation ground?
No, not always. Later years they have done, but we didn't. I think we had one on the pastures once, but this is something more recent.
This is recent,
yes.
Is it?
Yes, more recent.
Right. Yeah. Tell me about this recreation ground. It's been opposite you all this time. You know, was it just, were the allotments always there?
Yes, the allotments were there, but then the ditch was filled in and the trees were taken down, and then the children came, and it's always been football and cricket and people, just general recreation. Mm. That's been quite a popular spot. But,
let's go on to your earliest memories of the village. As a little girl, when you went out shopping with your mum, or whatever you did, and tell me what you first remember.
Well, we used to walk along to Inglethorpe, I can remember, before I went to school, looking for wildflowers, and we went round the back lane, Brickley Lane at Inglethorpe, farm, and up to Inglethorpe Hall, and my grandmother knew Mrs. Davy, who lived in the hall.
How do you spell that,
Davy? Oh, D-A-V-Y. I can remember that stays in my mind, that one particular. I only went there once. Sitting in the hall with the man dress and the white apron on and the white cap. I just remember that one. Well, then the primary school, I can remember walking. We walked there to school, we walked back for lunch, dinner, we walked back to school, and we walked home again. And we didn't think anything about it four times a day. And my brother-in-law and his brother, they had to walk all the way from the station and back four times. They didn't think about it in those days. No cars to pick you up.
No.
And
no cars to knock you down.
No, that's right. I think I said about the... the thing that I didn't like very much while I was...
How many days? Did you have four or five? How many days a week schooling?
All five. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
Friday.
Yes,
right.
All the five days.
Right.
And Mrs. Barker is still alive in the course of Snettisham. She married twice. She was known as Amy Cook.
And who was Mrs. Barker?
Well, Mrs. Barker was the third teacher at the school. She
right.
taught my sister. She was Amy Cook in those days. And but she married her.
And what were the classrooms like? Did you have
individual
desks or tables, or what was it?
Yes, we did have individual or double. We had partners. We sat double. There was the primary class, Miss Hudson. Polly Hudson took the primary class from Heach, and she used to cycle on her bicycle. And then the second one was Miss Robertson from Heacham, and then Elsie Crowe, actually. And then the third class was Miss Cook, the bigger room, much bigger that one.
Mm-hmm.
And then you had the wash basin, and you came to another room on the corner of that picture I told you.
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Waring was there, and then Mr. Mason Jones was the centre room, it was his headmaster's room.
Right.
There.
And you didn't actually wear a uniform?
No, not for that.
No.
Mr. Russell followed on at one time as a headmaster, and I remember when Andrew started school there, he had a black blazer with a gold badge and a black cap with a gold badge, but that didn't carry on for very long.
Mm.
High school, you had to, they had to wear all uniform there.
Mm. And what, was it just a morning thing, or was it all day?
Yeah, all day. You got for 9 o'clock in the morning, and then you came out, I suppose, I can't really remember, but I expect something like 12, and came
right.
out for lunch and went
right.
back for 2, and then came home at 3:45, I think.
Right.
And walked home. Yes.
Right. So they didn't have dinner ladies in those days?
Oh, no, you went home. There was no dinner. Nowhere to stop.
Nowhere to stop for a meal there.
No.
Yeah.
You went to your own home.
Right.
Because mothers weren't working in those days, I suppose.
No. Your mother and your... all your family were involved with the WI.
Not your mother.
No,
mother died when I was 9, but my stepmother was. Yes, she was president as well. And
what did they do? Do you know much about the WI in those days?
Well, very similar, really, to our own, because I was president of the evening WI, as you know.
Why was that started, the evening WI?
Well, I think basically because of that, I can't quite remember. I think it started in 60. I joined in 1966, and they held that in the Foresters Hall in Manor Road, and basically I think it was for the younger people who had got children tied up during the day, see, or were out at work really, and were free in the evenings,
mm.
and they on the whole were an average of a younger age, on average.
Did it start off with a lot of members? Can you remember at all?
Well, I can't remember.
Are we talking 20 or
40? Oh, yes, yes,
about
up to 20. 40.
About 20, 40.
Up to 40, yeah. Mrs. Cable, Nancy Cable, was a president.
Right.
And when I was there, but Joan Playford is a family member, she still comes to it. Doc Goff was another one. And Margaret Elderkin, there were 3 founder members to it now.
I was going to ask you, some of the other children who were at school with you here, was Rispa here at that time?
No, she was older than me, but I think I'm right in saying she went to the convent in King's Lynn.
Oh, right. Are any of your other fellow pupils still in the village? Who were with you at the school there?
No, given up, really.
So a lot of people have sort of moved away.
They've moved away, yes. Oh, yes. And, because, you see, I left the school when I was 10, when I was 11, to go to Lynn. And before that, I think we were just all primary children together who all lived around here.
Mm.
I don't know that I have individuals.
So there was the school, there was the WA, there was the fates and things, the girls' life brigade.
Mm.
What other sort of things happened in the village at that time? I mean, were there any special celebrations at Christmas or things that have dropped out since then?
Well, there was the carnival in the war, of course, there was the War Weapons Week. I showed you the photo, didn't I, guess? And we had a carnival queen, and we had various functions, ale, dances, and entertainment. And Mrs. Reg Houghton used to have a concert party, and they held those in the Institute, and they were very popular.
And amateur dramatics, did they have
Yes, Mr. Willis, the headmaster of St. George's, he started the Dursing Drama Group, and that they went on for quite a long time.
And if you had a celebration or something and you wanted to go out for a nice meal, where would you go? Did people go to the Feathers?
Well, I think that going out for a meal is something more recent, of recent years. People didn't, as far as I can remember, used to do that so much then as they do now.
Mm.
So
what would who would have used the Feathers mostly?
Well, it was there for members of the public, and of course when the Royals came down at Christmas or whenever to Sandringham House, they were busy, they had a number of them there.
Staying there.
Right.
And the Dun Cow was here in those days.
Yes, well, the Dun Cow they just removed for budgeons was the second one, and the first one was covered in ivy. I know there is a postcard of that. I vaguely remember the new one being built, the second one, just very vaguly being built. And of course, that's gone now.
Mm.
And in the Jubilee Court, there was the white horse.
Oh, there was another pub
there? Oh, yes, a big one. Well, it was a white horse, a white one, an oblong white one.
Right.
And
what, did that burn down as well?
No, they knocked it down and developed Jubilee Court and the shops that were there now.
Okay. Well, let's just go on a sort of figurative walk in our memory around.
And then the other one was called the Albert Victor.
Well, that's on Manor Road?
That's on Manor Road, yes.
Where the dance school is now.
Is now, but was a pub then, yes.
Right. So let's just walk from the war memorial down to the post office, and you tell me what's changed figuratively in your mind.
Yes.
What's changed along there? The war memorial has been there since the First World War.
Yes. Now, the West Dean Hotel on the corner was called the Temperance Hotel, and it was my father's home when he was a little boy. And that, of course, has changed to the West Dean now.
Mm.
I used to go there as a child. And all. The houses are the same. The field has changed. The paths and been put along the road. The bushes have been cut back. The trees have gone. We've got the fence and the field, as you know. The houses are virtually the same. I don't recall any change.
But you were telling me about Thaxter's, that there was little store there.
In Thaxter's, the other way, yes. Now, Thaxter's shop started off, I can remember, Mrs. Thaxter in a house, more or less, the front room. And then right next door, with the gap, where is the entrance by the new coffee shop they put
mm-hmm.
There was a house there, Mrs. Wire's house, and she sold groceries in her front room and in the house as well. So you have the two together. And then eventually Rankin's took that over. So you have Thaxter's and Rankin's side by side then. And they developed their shops. So you have two shops that were each developed.
Right.
And then of course Rankin's went, and now you just have Thaxter's mini market and the car park.
Right. Then you come down from past the recreation ground, which you told me about. But you said that there had been more shops on that road. Where the Sandringham Motors is now, you said there was something different.
Well, there was a garage there on the corner. It was Twite's garage.
Mm-hmm.
And that was burnt down one night. The front part was of long glass and wood, and that burnt down one night, and I believe, I'm not sure how it started, but I think they used to do accumulators there for people, the wirelesses. Those people who didn't have electric wires, accumulators, my granny had one, and they charged them. Now, whether that's anything to do with it or not, I don't know, but that was burnt down.
Right. And those shops, what were they? Or was that all part of the garage?
Oh, yes. Now, before, no, let's come back to opposite Michael Smith's, the hairdressers now.
Mm-hmm.
There was Balding's farm, and their long farm building, the barn, and another barn, which was Jarvis the Baker's. And that's gone, and you've now got a bungalow built there, and which is now and a Chinese takeaway, which is there.
And then Richard's shop on the corner, that's always been there.
Oh, that's always been there.
And you were saying Sue Mebray's shop was something as well.
Well, that was Ewer's shop. You could buy everything there.
Sort of like
in the book. In the booklet, everything, haberdashery and bits and pieces of medicines and walls and all sorts of things they sold. Very useful shop.
And the post office?
Yes, there was a post office there. The part that the post office now is built on, but there is a door where you see it used to be the sorting office. Well, you've seen the bikes stood there and a door.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that you went in that door. That was the post office. The counter was on the left, and that was run by the Garners, Miss Garners.
Right.
And Ruth Harrison, she was there.
Now, Jubilee Court, you said there'd been a pub there.
Yes, the White...
Were there shops there as well at that stage?
No,
just a pub.
Just
so that whole development is quite modern then?
Oh, yes. I can't remember but oh, yes, very modern.
Right. Were there any other shops along the road that are now just houses along Lynn Road we're talking about?
Well, down near the drift, Whiskers shop, which is just standing, I'm not sure what it is now, but there was Whiskers shop, which was a grocery shop, there on the corner of the drift, and Eleanor Drew's hairdresser's shop was where, do they call it Images now, coming up there somewhere, opposite the social centre,
right.
The shop, that is a hairdresser's now, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, that was the Jewish hairdressers.
Right.
And then, of course, Parker's shop was where the crane shop is now. That was called Parker's. Where Crane's shop is at the bottom of Sandring Hill.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, then there's all sorts of shops in there.
And Manor Road?
There
was a bakery, wasn't there?
Yes, there was.
Run by the Playford family.
Yes, John Playford's family, father-in-law and father were there. There was Tarrington's shop, where the...
Opposite Forest is sort of there.
Yes, I think it's where the frame shop is now. Pet shop.
Ask Me Frame.
Yes,
right.
That's right.
The flower shop is now. Was there anything there, or was that just a house?
That was the village barber's.
Was it
a little wooden hat affair, and George King lived there in the house behind them. He did it on the corner, I should say. He did the all the village barber. He was the village barber.
Right, and the undertakers?
We didn't have any. Years ago, there was a sign to say somewhere along the line that my ancestors were builders and undertakers. They were the signboard, but I don't remember that.
Right.
No, I can't.
And where Sandring and Motors is now?
Well, that was Twite's Garage.
That was Twite's Garage.
Yes.
Right.
And where Bowden's was Rayner's newsagent, and they had a big shed at the back.
Now, it used to be more important the station road than it is now. So you remember going on the train, presumably?
Yes. I do. We used to catch the train in the morning for work. That's when I used it most. I used to travel by bus to school. And in the morning, there would be four double-decker buses and two singles, there were so many people. And if you missed one, you saw it, but well, you didn't worry, you knew there'd be plenty more coming along.
Mm.
But then when I went to work, I used the train, and you saw possibly nearly into the station as you ran down the hill, but there were so many people and they waited and then off we went.
Mm. Were they the trains that had sort of lots of doors that opened all the way along? Were they
yes, corridors and the new cool train, you know, Mr. Right. Chilson was the station master.
And the opposite, I remember the Smith sisters telling me there was a big house there and I think the station master lived there, did he?
Well, the station master lived in the house that's it joined on the waiting room, which is all building materials
oh,
now,
right.
But that joined on the waiting
right.
room there.
Right.
And they had waiting rooms each side of the line and the lovely warm cool fires to wait for the train, you see.
It's a bit fabulous at that.
Yes, that's right. Mm. And then the Royals were at Wolferton the same, you see. That's the railway. But there's a lot of change in Station Road because when I was a little girl, Walter Nurse was the cool merchant and he lived next door in the end cottage to where I am now. And he had his cool yard at the top of Station Hill, which is the beginning of Valley Rise, and then his chickens, which used to be tea, and beyond that the allotments. They were all where Valley Rise is now.
Mm.
And then going down the hill, there was a bungalow and Dinky Bun was the taxi driver for the village.
Is that Mrs. Bun in all the WI
no,
places?
Yes, no,
not
that one, no, not that one.
Another
Alfred
one.
Alfred Bun, and he was nicknamed Dinky.
Right.
There was another Mr.
Who lived in that big house? That sort of rather
what, on the right hand side?
One.
Yeah, that was
the
railway hotel.
It was a hotel,
yeah,
wasn't it?
Years ago. Yes, the railway hotel, years ago, yeah. Many years ago.
Now, coming back to this corner again and going up, we've got the Temperance Hotel on the corner.
Mm.
Then you've got the Butcher, which is just the same as it was then.
Are we going
then
on
you,
Manor Road?
Yes.
Yeah.
Then you, not Manor Road, Chapel Road.
Chapel Road, I'm sorry.
Then we've got the Primitive Methodist Chapel.
Chapel, yes.
But then there are a lot of changes after that because there's no library in those days,
no,
were there?
No. Now, that was all Lloyd Pratt's field and that had a big pond in and they had cows in there and sheep and that was opposite the house, the Cedars, the beautiful house, where the road is now, the pottery, and
and that's burnt down,
that
the Cedars?
Was, that burnt down very sadly, yes.
And where the library is now, that used to be Reynolds Nursery, somebody
yes,
was telling me.
Yes, it did. There was Jerry Reynolds, they've called, in the house that's there, the big house they live. Then they have their nurseries and greenhouses and a field. I know one Sunday school treat was held in that field. In a tumbrel, we had, you know, our treat in the big field there.
Mm.
And the fish shop, there was a fish shop there. At the back of his house. In fact, there'd been fish shops all over the village. There was a fish shop opposite the coast.
You mean wet fish or fish,
no,
and
fish
chips?
Fishers, by the name, at one time bought the West Dean. They lived there, but they ran the fish and chip shop where the Chinese is.
Oh, right.
And then there was another fish shop where around St. Evans is. Before that was built, that was in the back of the old house. There was another fish shop behind Cherry Reynolds' house that we were talking about, the nursery, and Bob Richards has a fish shop opposite the Coach and Horses.
Do you remember, Janice, in my house somebody told me that there was a sweet shop or something?
Yes, there was.
Can you remember what
that was
like?
Britain's Yard, I can't remember, but Elizabeth Flegg was then, because Charlie Flegg and her mother and they lived there in that row, and she always used to talk about Mrs. Britton's shop for the sweets. She would enlarge on that for you.
Mm.
She was born and bred in the village, so there are many memories she probably could tell you.
Mm.
But in the war years, Station Road, at the top of the hill, which is now Button, there was a large searchlight there.
Right.
And that was Station.
And there's a sort of pillbox in the field at the back in
my
back road.
Yeah, my father built that for the...
So it's just got hedges around it now.
Yes, well that was built because there were all these pillboxes put round this coastline, you see. And you see another one at Old Hunstanton. You can see them, Brancaster. Well, he built the one here and several in the area.
Mm.
And if you went, right, they mined the coastline very heavily along, and there were metal scaffolds all the way to keep you away. The British, in case somebody coming in. Yes, invasion from the Germans, from Holland, which apparently was a very close thing, I've told at one stage.
Talking about the boar again, you told me that here in your garden you actually had a dugout.
Yes.
Was that common?
Well, I don't know. What happened was, one night there were two bombs and they landed on Dirtingham Common, and I can remember thinking, underneath this great big old table, and we had no other form of shelter then. And then after that, the father came and he dug and built, so, you know, they built, brick built, in the ground with a mound, and there were two rooms down. And if there was a raid or the Germans or anything,
what did you take, candles or lamps or something with you?
Yeah, well, you weren't any lights, but no. You had a torch when you got inside. You weren't allowed to have any.
Do you remember it at all?
Was I do.
Cold and.
Well, we were well wrapped up, you know, but we were fortunate here because we didn't have that many rays, not like a large number of places in the country, but that was, the thing that I didn't like was at school, and anyway, we had to have gas masks, and I hated wearing mine, and I was frightened of other people in theirs. I wasn't very old, and they were in cardboard boxes with string, and we had to take them to school and wherever.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a big van come on the field opposite, and we had to have them tested every so often. You went in one door and somebody took you through and you came out the other. Presumably it was tested, presumably there was gas in there, and they would ask you if there was a funny smell or anything. We had to wear them.
Mm-hmm. And tell me, there was somebody who was a hermit on the common. Do you remember anything about that?
No, Alan will tell you that. I think it was Arthur Dowdy. Yes.
He came back shell-shocked or something.
Yes, I think Alan can put you right onto the common, because his father used to look after that, and he knows, he lived that side of the village.
I've heard that from several people, that there was a
hermit on,
and the children used to tease him a bit.
They did, yes, he lived up there.
Yeah.
And he'd tell you, because I suspect he
tell me about the old hall as well, because that's changed.
Hall.
That was owned by a German chappie, wasn't it?
Oh, yes. Janek, his name was, J-A-N-N-O-C-H. And now my sister can remember, I can't, but his wife was in some way related to my father's cousins in Nottingham. And he used to grow bulbs. He connected with somebody in Holland and bulbs. He used to grow these bulbs, and I think I'm right in saying for one of the royals. But I can't really remember this.
Mm.
But that was Janet.
I remember
Cora.
Talking to Sheila. She used to live on the end of the road. Yeah,
Ellis.
No, not Daniels. Sheila Ellis. The one who does doll houses. I can't remember her. Templeton.
Oh, I know. I don't know.
She used to have ducks and chickens and things. It was this big house that's been for sale for a long time at the end of Lynn Road. Her husband was a military gentleman.
Oh, Middleton, Major Middleton, and yes.
Right,
yes.
She told me that at the old farm, is it the old farm? The old hall, there used to be sort of like markets.
Oh, yes. Well, now I'm going back, it was always Janet's call, right? And, then it was in use. There was flats there at one time, and the Jerry family lived there. Peter Leach had sales there, bric-a-brac. There was a big room
there.
Was
it just a Saturday thing, or was it every
day?
Just a one day thing.
They had some stalls. And I remember the Young Conservatives used to meet there at one time, and then there were dancers there, and a billiard room, which is now
It was a private house, but it was used for other things as well.
Well, when the Janets went, when they left, I think she died first and then he died.
All right. Now, when you go down the hill towards Sandringham, there's that house which has now been vandalised badly. But there used to be a furniture restorer there, somebody was telling me. You know, right opposite the Coach and Horses.
Yes.
Tell me about that house.
Right. Early on, was Mr. Lyons, the butcher, there on the wall. And that was the butcher's shop. I think it was W.H. Lyons, right? And his widow lived in Station Road. Now, I'm not sure, but I think he possibly hung himself, unfortunately. I think he did. And that finished. And then there was Bob Richards, one of the sons of Mr. Richards, the
chief,
John's brother. Yes,
mm-hmm.
And he He had fish and chip shop there, and then that changed hands, and I think Judges had it for antiques and repairs. And I think that's just been left from there.
Oh, it's sad, isn't it? Because he had so dilapidated now.
Yes, yes. But yeah. The other bit on Chapel Road, opposite primary school, is a long building. I don't know what it's used for now, but at one time the children went there for dinners. And Gladys Bird's husband, Stanley, told me that that was the Bird's family chapel. The Primitive Methodist that came was the Chambers family chapel. He told me that was the Bird's family chapel.
Right.
So that, then I can remember dinners there from the school. We used to cross the road.
The old later. Community centre. Mm.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know what they use it for now.
No.
Near the car park.
I think we've gone right round the village as far as shops and things are concerned, haven't we? That the war you mentioned, we've mentioned a couple of things about the war. Is there anything else about the war that you particularly would
well,
remember?
Well, I know that we had a trench built in the bank of the Emblems. The Emblems are the land between the end of the playground and the house opposite the Feathers, and we had to drill and run there.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a garden, used to be the garden that the children used to grow, and that used to be their garden. Up as you look from the road, it was up in front of you, and
right.
That's all gone.
Yeah.
And there was another house there, and that's gone. That was the school. You asked me, was there anything else I remembered about the war?
Yes, it's recording.
Yes, he asked me. Well, I can remember convoys coming through. You'd have...
Yes, it's recording.
Right. You'd have the... usually a motorcycle in front with a green flag, and it finished with a green flag, you see, and these convoys would be these great armoured lorries full of troops, and then there would be the Sten gun carriers all rattling by, shaking, you know, the caterpillar tanks. And then sometimes there would be the...
Were they made up roads here? I mean, were they tarmac roads, or were they just...
Well, they were, but not as smooth as they are
now.
And the steamrollers used to come along. There weren't so many cars, you see, and they had the steamrollers and things, horse and carts.
Mm.
I can remember one thing. They had some Italian prisoners of war. They had to march by with their hands on the head, and then the Germans. And there was a big Jerry, we used to call him, Jerry prisoner of war camp down on Snetterton Beach, and that was all prefabs and very high railings. And of course, some of them worked on the farms locally around here.
You mentioned that, it made me think, did most people have a horse in those days? I mean, from your earliest memories, did people have horses?
No, we did. We had a pony trap, my grandfather did.
Mm-hmm.
But not really. The other horse and cart I can remember was a Mr. Wilson Fife. He lived down the glebe, and he would deliver coal on his...
The Smith sisters said you could... I thought she said you could get a pony trap from the station up. Or her mother remembers getting a pony trap from the station up to Heath Road. Do you remember?
That could well be, but I can't remember. That's before my time. I can't remember that. The only other horse and cart I can remember was the Lincolns used to bring the milk round in the churn. You went out with your jug and they dipped this ladle in, and then you got the milk. I must tell you on a Sunday treat, there was a man called Bob Gibson. Everybody knew Bob Gibson. Grey hair and glasses, and he used to ride a three-wheeler bike with a refrigerated square in the front, and he used to sell Ball's ice cream, and he used to be
really?
The ice cream man come around.
Did he ring
used to
bell
ring
his
bell as he came along? Big thrill, we all used to run home. Everybody used to know him.
Yeah.
He was a village character.
What about dressmakers and things? I mean, did you make your own clothes during the war? Do you remember what happened? Or did your parents, your mum make them for you? Or were there dressmakers in the town? In the village?
I can't. can't really remember. There was one who used to do some home dressmaking. That was Miss Peeling. She lived up Dolls Hill. I can remember that there was a carrier, Dings, the carrier from Manor Road, and I can remember on a Saturday he came to ours tea time. He brought sausages and food and some shoes and things. That he did apparently this kind of a carrier service from the town to the people out here, you see. Because you couldn't have petrol for your cars in the war.
But you mentioned the haberdashery at Queen Mabry's place. So did your parents, I mean, who would do the sewing? Or did you buy clothes off the peg?
We bought clothes off the peg. There was a clothes shop, the other half of Parker's at the bottom of Sandringham Hill. As you looked at the shop, a double-fronted white shop, the right-hand side was the groceries, left-hand side were clothes. Was a clothes
and shop. Where there's that sort of woodshed and yard now on the side of that?
Yes, there was nothing there.
There's nothing there.
No,
then.
I don't recall anything.
No.
They might have been, but again, that was the other side.
Tell me about the church. I mean, you were part of the Methodist congregation. Did you have much to do with the Anglican church people?
No. There was the Wesleyan in Post Office Road and the Primitive Methodist in Chapel Road, and we were definitely individual, but every year, Whitson, we had our anniversaries whereby you said recitations and sang and this sort of thing, and the Wesleyan would close and come to ours, and on their anniversary day we would close and go to theirs. That would join together.
But the Anglicans kept much to themselves?
Yes, that
right.
was not.
And the Stantons have been here several generations, haven't they? Yes.
Now that they live in Manor Farm, don't they?
Right.
And there were a number of manors in the village. In fact, I've got details somewhere. One of the relatives who lived in the White House said there were about 6 to 8 different manors in the village. One was Jellum Manor, and then there was the Glebe Manor. And
Jellum Manor has actually been knocked down now, hasn't it?
Well, Jellum Manor is where all the houses are.
Yes, I know, but there's no actual house there.
Oh, no. I don't remember any houses, but I do.
We're just going back on these manors. There are 7, you said, Janice?
Yes, there were 7 or 8. There was Jellum Manor, Snoring Manor, the Manor Farm, the Glebe Manor, and what was the other manor? West Hall Manor.
Hmm.
Yes. I have got the details now. Fine.
Okay.
No.
Was there anything else from these early bits that you wanted to tell me about? Well, the worst day you remember in Dursley?
Well, thing that wasn't very nice when the floods came up, of course, because there was loss of life there. It was a Sunday. On the Saturday night, on the Saturday, we'd been to Hunstanton, and the pictures of top of 10 return, and the sea was coming, blowing up. The spray was reaching the Golden Lion right over the green. Wind was terribly strong, the tide was very high. And really, that's all I thought at that time. On the Sunday morning, we went to Sunday school. I took the Sunday school in the Primitive Methodist there, and my friend Valerie Bayford, her brother John, was there, and he said, "Did you know the sea was up to the station?" And I said, "The station." And after we came out of chapel, we walked down Station Road, down the hill, and there, just by the railway line, was the water with pianos floating and all furniture, clothes, debris of every kind, and there was a little boat down, and Alan was in it with John Richards, and they were looking for livestock, etc. And I know some weeks after, or some time after,
what happened? Had the dikes broken then?
No, the sea came in. There was a freak wave. The Holland and
well, it went over those dikes.
It came all over the land. Came right up. Came up to Holkham. The whole place was this huge wave. came by surprise in the night, and there were so many people who, mainly Americans then, they were billeted over here, and they lived in the bungalows and the houses by the sea at Hunstanton, and just swept them in from the beds, and that was that. And Snettisham, of course, the water came up, and I know there was a story that two of them clung to the chimney all night on the bungalow. They were rescued.
It was that deep, bungalow deep.
Oh yes, it just swept. Came one huge, and the wind brought it in, you see, and everything went, and beach huts, caravans, and walking down the drift with my sister who lived in the village, and we went for a walk, and there was a case of baby clothes, and we find all these things. It was all the way around the coastline. I think Canby Island was about at the same time. And of course, to learn that there'd been so much devastation, my brother-in-law who worked in Stanton, they turned the town from Stanton into the mortuary and came, and it's all the children,
How many people roughly lost their lives? Do you remember?
Well, I can't remember how many, but in Hunstanton Gardens there is a plaque and the names and the numbers of the floods there. We did have a flood in 1947, which came up over Snettisham Beach, and my grandmother lost her hat, my granny lost her hat, and that was that. And then we'd get them from time to time. But this one in 53 was the worst. And we have had one since. At Heacham, our hut was saved, but a number of caravans were all swept. But they did a lot of work on the sea defences after that 1953 flood.
It is a bit of a lost cause, though, isn't it? Because they are going to get worse and worse, these incursions, aren't they?
Yes, well, they said it was a freak, but that really was bad. When you think of where the station is and where the sea is, to think that that brought that far.
Were there any other days, Janis, that you can remember being particularly bad? I mean, the war, the First World War, judging by the cenotaph,
War
Memorial, quite a lot of people lost their lives. But do you remember any of your special friends who lost their lives?
Not in the First World War, in the Second World War.
No, I don't mean the Second. I meant the Second, not the First.
I wasn't that old to have adults in the forces as such. We had German prisoners of war, as I said, at Snettisham, and then the Italians. And then following on from the war, they went, and we had a large number of Americans, and they were there for a long time.
What, at Snettisham?
Yes, on the beach, and they used to come up. They did used to like you to entertain the troops sometimes. I can remember we did have airmen in, and we had some Americans in. That was all to do with the war, but the end of the war.
And since then, any really bad things that have happened? The burnt house they talk about.
Well, I was sad Cedars. I've got that down as a day that I was sad, yes.
Yeah.
My father was living here at the moment. That was in the breakfast time. He could hear this crackling. We couldn't think what it was. And then we looked across and saw the flames. And now I was sad. That was a beautiful old house. It had a round window. And that was...
Was it a timbered house or a stone house?
Oh no, a brick built.
Brick?
Large house. And I had one round window, I can remember. Oh no, that was a very nice house. Country house.
The old house, you know, the one that's opposite where the video shop used to be? The old house where the barn is?
Yeah, Mrs. Randall lives there now.
Yes. Were they there a long time?
Well, I only know that referred to as Wade's house, and that's always been there as far as I can remember.
Because they're redoing the barn at the moment, aren't
yes,
they?
Yes, that was Billy Warden's barn, and he was a carpenter, and he used to make coffins, and he was a village family.
Because there's a nice piece of land in front of it. I think it's been a tennis court or something in its day. The barns, and then on the other side, there's a lovely piece of land. You don't know that? I only went for a coffee morning.
Tennis courts. Down Centre Vale was the farmhouse. and Mr. and Mrs. Jackson mainly lived there, covered in ivy, on the corner of the old Centre Vale and the West Hall Road opposite. And, now, their son, Jimmy, married my father's sister, and they lived up at the Hyde Farm. And all of that, where West Hall, Queen Elizabeth Drive, all of those were the fields of the farm. And we used to have to take the horses down, I did, used to sit on them, send them down. They knew exactly where to go, and they went as far as the pastures where their stables were. Now, there were no houses down there at all. There was no, that was just
countryside. Let's go on to what you were saying, Janice.
Tennis courts were in the, beside the farmhouse there, they were the tennis courts up the neck of the chapel.
You mentioned earlier
and the tennis courts on the pastures.
That one of the things that you regret is how much green space has been built on.
Yes, it's a shame. I feel a lot of the country.
Just go through the places that you remember all being green. You mentioned three or four to me.
Well, Lloyd Pratt's field had a pond and cows and sheep, and that is now plain close. Going down Station Road, it was Baldwin's field, and that was all agriculture and fields. That's Mount Batten. On the right hand side, where I think I've said the coal yard, what the nurse's coal yard, chickens, etc., and the hill leading down, that's all Valley Rise. Park Hill, where we used to go and play, that's all bungalows, Park Hill bungalows.
The Reynolds place here?
And yes, the Reynolds, because that was fields. Around the old house which stood there, and the nurseries, of course, Reynolds nurseries. And that's all the library and Orchard Close. And then the back of Lloyd Pratt's house were fields, as I've said, we used to sledge down and have a garden fence. That's now all Saxon Way and surgery. And then the last part was the field and the pond. The Hawthorn field is now flats. There's not a lot left in the old village, the pastures and the recreation grounds, etc.
What would you hope for in the future in the village?
Well, I would hope that, what do you mean, in years to come?
What would you like to see here that isn't here at the moment?
Well, I would hope it would try and keep its country, and rather than get a mini town, keep its countryside effect. And the small shops, I don't know whether it will be.
Do you feel there's still the sense of community that there was?
Oh, no. Because there are so many hundreds of new people come to live here. When we went to the Institute, what they call it, the Church Hall now, but we used to go for these concerts, and you knew everybody there in the hall. You knew them all and had a chat. You knew where they lived by name and everything, but not anymore.
We were talking about the WI birthday meeting for the evening group. We're having to cater for 80 people.
This year?
Yeah, because we've got some visitors coming, a few visitors. But, 80 is an awful lot, isn't it?
Never known that. When I was president,
We're at the church hall this year.
Yes.
But, when I first joined, there were about 30 or something regularly, and now it's about 60 regularly.
Yes, I know they want people to attend these things, but it becomes less personal and you don't get to know people. Now, when I was president, I had 25 when we started in the Foresters Hall, and then I think there were 50 when I retired, and of course that has gone on, maybe it just got larger.
But it says that there is a need, doesn't it, that people do need a chance to meet each other.
That's very good, because television's been a great killer of families.
But now you've got videos, you can record and go out and come back and see.
Well, yes, but I think it's good to meet families out of the house. You say friends and everybody.
What about the church community? Because, as a Catholic, we've only had our church for about 5-6 years, I think, 5 years. And now the congregations are about 100 or so. And at one time they said there wouldn't be enough people to use it. But what about in the Methodist Church?
Well, if I may just go back on that. Before the Foresters' Hall had the carpets in, Guy Playford's carpets, in there. We let it, you see, as much as we could. And at one time it was let every day. And on a Sunday it was for the Roman Catholic Church, and we had the Catholics came who were local, because I think the nearest one was in Stanton. Mm. And we had all the bits and pieces restored under the stage for them, and that was... But now, of course, you have your own...
Well, when I first came, which was in 1990, we had our services up at the community centre.
Yes.
For a few months, until the church was built.
Christmas Inslee, I think she left the money out.
That's right. Do you remember her at all?
Yes.
Tell me about her, what you remember of her.
Well, she was a teacher, and she used to
teacher
ride...
Teacher where? It's Nettisham.
And she used to ride a very high bicycle there every day, and she dressed in white from top to toe all the time.
In white, really?
Cream and white, there'd be gloves, hat, suit, dress, stockings, shoes, all the time.
And she played the organ in Hunt Stanton, I know that,
but of course I know where she lived, and I knew her as a person on the bicycle going off.
Yes, she must be. There were two sisters, actually, two Inslee sisters.
Were there? Yes, no, I didn't.
One died some time before, and then she lived to be quite a good age.
Yes, she was elderly,
What about the characters of the village, Janice?
Well, there was one, you've just mentioned Arthur Dowdy. He was Mr. Leake.
We're talking about the characters of the village.
Yes, that's right. I think his name was Mr. Leake, Alan Wolfe. Put you right on this, from Heath Road, and they used to call him the Everyday Bridegroom because he would walk past, and he used to wear a top hat and dress coat and his buttonhole every day. He would dress up as a bridegroom. We used to call him the Everyday Bridegroom. I can remember that.
Now, the Smith sisters were telling me Man, who I think is one of your relatives.
Yes, Alan.
Or Alan's relatives. One was a driver to Queen Mary. Or was that somebody else? Somebody who lived opposite them?
Oh, opposite.
Was that not
Queen Mary? No, Southgate.
Oh, Southgate.
I'm not sure if that wasn't Olive's father. But yes, Queen Mary's chauffeur lived opposite. And we did, Elsie, you mentioned, on the, and Jill and Marjorie, those were my friends. We were out one Sunday afternoon for a walk, came back, and Queen Mary was there with her car, and she just said, "Have you had a nice walk?"
How many times have you met all the royals? Have you met the Queen?
Oh, no.
Not a WI or as a Life Brigade girl or anything like that?
No, not anybody. I've seen them at the Sandringham show, but that is all.
And their involvement in Dursingham, have they had much involvement or not really?
No, though the Queen did open Hanover Court, but...
And she went to a Fobby's afternoon.
Yes, but that's recent.
Hmm.
And I can't, she may have done, but I can't recall.
Hospitals and illness, what would you do if you were ill?
The Prince of Wales and Princess Anne did go to the aviary in Post Office Road.
That's right.
Yes, my father's cousin there and her husband have all these birds, and they did come to see them, choose to, but I didn't meet them.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry.
No, I was wondering about if you were ill, would you go to Lynn to hospital, or was there anything in Dursingham?
Nothing
a doctor's clinic or
no.
Was there a resident doctor in Dursingham?
No. There was a Dr. Jolly at Snettisham. He had patients, and firstly there was Sir Frederick Willans, who was the Queen's at the Sandringham surgery there, West Newton, he had his house and his surgery on the corner. Before the church, anyway. And you had to go to the surgery up there. And then when he died, a Dr. Ansell came, and his surgery was in where the fire engine and museum now, if you like, is. And we had to go there. And when we had the children, the babies, everybody, we all had to go up there if we were ill or take them for, immunisations.
You said museum, which fascinates me. I didn't know there was a museum in Dursingham.
In Sandringham.
Oh, in Sandringham.
Yes, and that's where we had to go. Or bus or whatever, yes.
Right.
With the children, push the prams.
There wasn't a clinic for new babies and things, where babies...
Once a month, in the coronation room in the church hall, the district nurse would be there, and she would weigh your baby, and you would buy food. If you needed the food, you bought it there.
And then we were looking at a card, and it said the Institute Hall. Can you remember when it became attached to the church, or was it always attached to the church? The club then, at the Institute Hall, or the church hall, that's always been there, bowls club there?
As far as I know, yes.
Right, so there was tennis and bowls, you mentioned.
And there were tennis courts on the pastures when I was in my 20s, and we did play, I think it was the board, Mr. Balding, the farm, they gave a cup, we did have a tournament, but right. Unfortunately they were grass courts that had to be kept up, and of course gradually in favour, we finished.
Yeah.
They were very popular at one time, very popular.
And there's no sort of particular Dursingham ceremonies that you can ever remember, things that the village did.
Yes. No, we didn't. This was the thing, we always sort of said, well, Dursingham seemed to be a bit slow there. Snettisham seemed to have more, they have carnivals. Mm. We have of recent years.
On the Scots?
Yes, but before that, we didn't seem to.
No. Let's just have a look at this. Do you think you'll retire in Dursingham?
Oh yes,
I have retired.
I have just retired.
I haven't asked you, Janice, whether you worked at all in Dursingham. Have you ever worked in Dursingham?
No, I didn't. I worked first of all at the Lynn News proofreading when I left school, and then I worked in. I always wanted to work in a shop, and I worked in Catlew's, ladies out and fitters upstairs.
Right.
Right. I thoroughly enjoyed every minute. Then, of course, I had the children, and after that, I helped at the nursery school, the Foresters Hall Nursery School, for 14 years, assistant, and court secretary of the Ancient Order of Foresters, which is the Foresters Hall. That's a friendly society, which was very popular because before the health service, just about every other person.
It's a sort of insurance thing.
Yes, it was to pay sick pay. Before the health service, if you were ill, you didn't get payments and paid. Therefore, you paid your contributions to the foresters, and then when you were ill, you were paid your money, you see. Mm. So it was very important years ago, and it's gradually, unfortunately, sort of going, but there's still quite the following. Mm. I've still got a large number of members. Mm. It is an insurance hall now.
It is.
Yes, but it's a friendly society, like, you know.
Do you expect to be buried in Dursingham?
Yes, and my other relatives are
they
there.
Where are they? Up at the St. Nicholas?
Yes, they're in front of the barn in that older part of the churchyard.
Right, so that's a ecumenical burial ground. Anybody can be buried there.
Yes,
you don't have to be Anglican to be buried there.
No, that used to be the cemetery as far as I was concerned for the village.
Right.
And all of my family are there, and ancestors. And when they were cremated, one or two of them got their ashes.
Right.
So hopefully I will be.
What does the millennium, the year 2000, mean to you?
I've answered that, and that says not a lot.
No.
Well, I'm not a great person to change. I'm rather traditional.
It's going to be strange to talk about the beginning of the century and not mean 19th.
Yes, I think we have to get used to that. And I think, as you say, that will be an experience.
Because there's not a lot of people who are alive at the turn of the century when you think about it.
No, who are old enough to understand. Well, I really don't know. It will just mean a change of date, but of course there will be many changes, I suppose, to see the news or whatever. I don't know.
But it must be interesting because you've got four generations, as you say, who've lived in Dursingham. So you've spanned a whole century of living in Dursingham without moving away.
Oh, yes. And I also remember at one anniversary. Yeah, I wasn't really very old, but the minister said, and this is Janice, and she should have been a boy because that's the end of the line. And I remember going back and thinking, why should I have been a boy? That's the end of the line. Well, of course it is. It's the end of the line of the
Chambers.
The chambers. So
yeah.
It
but there you are. That happens to lots of families.
Yes, it happened to mine too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's lots of families in the village that I know who have gone for years.
And what would you, if in 100 years' time, if people are listening to these tapes and they're interested, what sort of things would you be interested in saying to them?
Well, I don't really know. In what way? Regarding what?
I don't know. I mean, can you imagine what Dursingham will be like in 100 years' time?
Well, what it might be like, unfortunately, is perhaps built and built and built, which would be sad. But
swallowed up?
Swallowed, yes. I mean, it happens.
Do you feel, I mean, a lot of people I've spoken to say, well, it's actually changed so much in the last 20 years,
indeed.
But as far as they're concerned, it's almost as if it was, rather than it is, Dursingham. You know, some of the...
Well, it is.
But so many of the old characters that they remember and the unchanging feel of Dursingham
has
quickly changed.
That went about, as you say, 10, 15 years ago, with all this building and all these fresh people all coming in. I don't want to sound that fresh people are not welcome, but with all the fresh people, you're in a close community. The internet is gone. The community is gone. Because you don't know the people. And mind you, it does have, I mean, I suppose that you must say that it has its advantages, because you do things perhaps you wouldn't do if it was just left to the same village people who would plod on the same. Getting a bit of a mini town. I personally don't like large mini markets in the village. I mean, I understand though, for people who don't have cars and pensioners who cannot get that.
I suppose a big change, you mentioned that when you went to school or when you went to WI or wherever, you knew everybody there.
Yes, you did.
That and now you can walk down the street and presumably, even in Dursingham, you don't know everybody
anymore. Oh, yes, and the majority of people you don't know. And I mean, you take the WI, for instance, we know them and several friends, but there's more than half you don't know. And I mean, when you look around, there's just Risper and myself who were born in the village. And not the others have come as grown-ups rather than children. You couldn't converse about childhood days with them.
No.
You see, the good old times, as they say, we've got a different type of person.
There's a different pace, isn't there, as well?
A different type of person. They're not all country folk for a long way. Not
what do you think that they don't understand, the incomers?
Well, I suppose today anywhere, it's a faster pace of living.
I mean, what worries me is like people go too fast on the country roads and pull those pheasants and things.
Yes, they don't have the same respect, I wouldn't. This doesn't apply to everybody by a long way, but there is a difference between country folk and town folk. You have a large number of retired people, of course.
What about poverty, levels of poverty? Do you remember in your youth there being really poor people in Dursingham? And would you say it's true today?
No, it isn't true today. Yes, I remember about three families who were really very poor, families. But those times have gone. So you see, that is for the better. And no, I wouldn't know another family in the village today.
Because
you might get some families not quite as clean as other families, but they're not poor. Not I can recall four really poor families.
Another thing which struck me coming from abroad was that there were no black people very few black people in Dursingham.
Yes.
And that seems to be true of Norfolk. And having come from a country where the white people stood out rather than the black people, that struck me as something very strange.
Yes. Well, you see, And not getting onto a racist topic, but I know some very nice. I've met some very nice coloured people, and I couldn't fault them at all. But I don't know I could say we're lucky, but I don't mean this in the wrong sense at all. But in some areas where you say these black people are, and they want their culture and their churches and their schools and their food,
And I don't think they should impose it on this country. They don't like it. They should live in their country with their cultures and food and whatever they do. That's how I feel. Now, I don't see why anybody should get along together, each to his own, quite happily. As long as one doesn't try and impose their views on the other. You know,
it's not the thing you have to worry about too much in Derby.
No, well, this is it.
There's not that contrast in this village at all. I mean, there are one or few, I know, Burmese girls who came to church, and there's Hyacinth's family. And about, I can't think of any others.
I've seen one or two in Lynn.
Yeah, but not in Dursingham. They're not actually living in Dursingham.
No. I think you get a lot from the television where they will visit the poorer areas of coloured people. And that's very, nothing you can do.
So that might be a change in the future. I mean, it might...
More coloureds coming in.
Well, I don't know. I'm just thinking that that's something very, that struck me here.
Well, as long as everybody can live peacefully, side by side, I see no problem. As I say, we've met various people through Brian as well, and they are very nice people, true gentlemen. They really are, and understand.
Can I ask you, Janice, because you have a particular knowledge of this? We've talked about having to go to the doctor up the road and things like that, but now we've got a very active Fobbies Club in Dursingham, which caters for the physically and mentally too, doesn't it? Handicapped. Or people who've been in accidents and what have you. What other facilities have there been in Dursingham? Because, for handicapped people, you would know about that, would you? There's nothing.
Not that I'm aware of. You see, Brian has lived away at various places during his lifetime, and now he's in a community home in King's Lynn. So they do what they try
because
and
Alan Garrett has a disabled child.
Taxi driver, I don't know.
Yes, and then I was thinking of the chappie who was the conservative.
Yes, Ian Stockwell. Yes.
Their son is standing out.
Yes.
And I just wondered if there had always been there'd been some facility here. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Nothing.
He was away, I think, at school, but he's also, I think, now under the care of the consultant, you see, that Brian is now. Brian's in this area. In King's Lynn, but there isn't.
And there's a Sunshine, isn't the Sunshine Homes or something in
the house? That is Sandcastle.
Sandcastle.
Yes, that really, I believe, is to give parents a break. You bring the children over for holiday and give the parents a break as well, of the ones who live at home.
But there's nothing in Dursingham.
Oh no.
We haven't got any institutionalised. St Margaret's House used to be a sort of hospice, but that's now closed down.
Yes.
Is there anything else in Dursingham like that?
Well, no, there's residential homes, of course.
There's the Gables,
which is very nice. I visited somebody for 5 years there, and that was very nice. And then there's New Haven in Manor Road, opposite the frame shop. It used to be the superintendent's house and the police station there.
And then there's Hanover Court, isn't there?
Hanover Court is where, now there's another residential home with at the bottom of the hill, Rose Lodge, for ladies. That's the three sort of residential. Then you've got sheltered housing, Orchard Close and Hanover Court.
And Gellin?
Gellin Manor has got flats. I don't think there's any wardens.
It's not sheltered.
No, there's Orchard Close for the wardens.
Yeah.
Yes, but and flats. And houses at Gellin, but not. I don't think there's any more. Well, I'm not aware of
that. And Tapping House, that's not in Dursingham, is it?
No, that's in Snettisham, and that, I understand, is a hospice. I haven't ever been there. Yeah. I don't know.
So we haven't actually got any facility, have we, for handicapped people?
No.
Or, well, we have some for the elderly. What about senior citizens? Do they have clubs and things?
They have the over 60s club in the church hall. I think once a month. And they have the day centre at the primary school. They call it primary school?
Community
centre. They take them there for all day. But I think they have games and a dinner, a meal, and then go back
yeah.
to their home.
Because, I mean, we have got Fobbies here now, which is quite a feather in our cap, really, that for such indeed. A small village. And that Anne got the CBE, was it?
Yes, for that. But before that, there really wasn't anything.
No.
Anything at all.
No. So there's perhaps some room for, if the village gets any bigger, for...
The only thing is, I think that takes a lot of
names of the people. Yeah. Janice was has suggested that I ask Alan about the trusteeship. But Janice is just going to go through a list of names of people.
Well, I thought probably Billy Clayford, because his father was the baker in Manor Road, and he would have many memories, I'm sure, of the village. And then there was Elizabeth Neal. She was Elizabeth Clegg. She was in the Girls' Life Brigade, and you asked me where she lived. I said in your row, by Britain's row. Risper Reynolds, I think she. And I wondered about John Richards. He's the shoe shop, and he's been there as far as I can remember all the time. And George Clayton. Well, obviously, I'm sure you've been in touch with him.
What about the chappie who is the chairman of the council, George?
George Pratt.
That, have they been here a long time?
Well, yes, a long time. I'm not sure the house he lives in. My sister used to live there when she first got married, and I can't remember when she moved. I think he's been there ever since. So I think a very long time. You mean you want to know people born and bred in the village?
No, not necessarily, but just people with a long involvement. When I mean involvement, I mean who've actually been back on a council or running clubs or taken an interest in the sort of civic life of the village. Can you think of anyone else that we should try and see? Women, perhaps?
Women?
Who are now retired or something. I mean, I thought of talking to Sheila Middleton, for instance, because she was quite active here.
Yes,
wasn't
where
she?
Is she now then?
She lives in Hunstanton.
Yes, I thought she did. I thought you meant she'd come back. I'll have a think.
Will you, Janice?
Yes, certainly.
Yeah,
I will.
And then if you're talking to anybody who you think, you say, "Oh, I'll tell May," and then you know, get in touch with me, because the more rounded we can get, and particularly people with long memories.
Yes, and I'll get you some more details about various things.
Yeah. I think Janice has just had another little think, and we thought about the blacksmith.
Yes, there was the blacksmith shop. Nearly opposite the Albert Victor in Manor Road, and it was Mr. Blowers, his name was, and he had the black wooden shed with the anvil going in the fire. I used to see him when he was walking by going from school.
And he would have been much more important in the days before motor cars.
Yes,
and
because of the horses.
Yes.
And of course there was the school there. If you go along from the main road towards the Heath Road, past Mayor House, the house set back was the Wellsville School, a private school for girls. His wife was the headmistress there, and eventually that was sold. I think the Scott family had it once. It's changed hands many times, but that was a school there, private school. That was another thing.
Well, I think we've probably rung you out by now, Janice. So we'll stop recording now. Thanks very much, and we'll come back and have another go.
Thank you.